Every war in human history has had its iconic imagery. Each has had tales of mighty heroes committing mighty deeds in the face of overwhelming odds. In stories, in songs, in paintings, in recordings, their accounts echo through the ages, however far removed from reality they may be. Yet each of these wars has been fought upon the backs and upon the bones of the common soldier. The man slogging through the filth, rarely thanked, oft overlooked, yet always fighting for the cause. Through the annals of the Great Crusade, the names and victories of the Legionnaires Astartes ring loudest of all, yet even amongst the transhuman near gods of the Astartes are those for whom the Crusade was a grim, unrewarding necessity, committed on behalf of those they would never know and who would never hear of their suffering and struggles. Know then, that this is a record of the brutal battering ram of the Great Crusade, of a legion of bitter men who spent the 200 years of the greatest of humanity's endeavors fighting in the trenches and the mud of unnamed worlds under indifferent skies. The Fourth Legion, Iron Warriors. The origin of the Fourth Legion lies in the ashes of the destruction of the recidivist holdouts of the Oro Plateau of Sek Amrak upon ancient Terra. The local tribes and Tek enclaves were renowned for their skill with shot and bullet, and formed the core of the recruitment stock of the embryonic legion. With the region pacified and showing all signs of being steadfastly loyal to the Emperor's new regime, the Fourth Legion's gene rights were delighted to discover that the gene seed of the legion was amongst the most stable of all the Astartes, with rejection rates being remarkably low. Many legions would later require the attention of the lunar gene cults to fully stabilize their progenoid glands, but not so for the Fourth. It had the advantage of rapid expansion capabilities, placing it at the strength of several battalions while the unification wars were still ongoing, and many of the other legions could only field strike teams of Astartes for small-scale tactical operations. Rushed into service with the 1st and 5th Legions, the 4th saw heavy action in many of the largest engagements of both the final days of the Unification Wars and the Solar Reclamation beyond. They alone broke the back of the War Witches in the Punishing Venus campaign, and their unyielding resolve, despite heavy losses in this and other battles, saw them outfitted with the most up-to-date arms and armament from newly allied Mars, and received a massive influx of recruits from Terra that had been originally intended to swell the disastrously depleted 3rd Legion following the sabotage of the latter's gene seed. The effectiveness of the 4th, when taken in tandem with the comparative ease with which its gene seed was adopted by recruits, made it an important one in the tenuous early days of the Crusade. As one of, if not the most numerous legion in those early days, it was easily split between dozens of the first expeditionary fleets that left anchor in the Sol system. The most notable of these was the 8th Expeditionary Fleet, of which the 4th commanded and formed the core of. In the ensuing 11-year-long campaign of conquest, the 8th Expeditionary Fleet drove mercilessly into the Galactic Core, annihilating scores of Xenos races and human holdouts, and proved critical in providing humanity with control over Segmentum Solar, to establish a large stellar regime from where the Crusade could expand outwards from. As the 4th Legion drove ever outwards, it lost what scant connections it had to the culture of its birth tribes on Terra. While this was common amongst many of the legions, especially those that were granted recruitment fiefs claimed by their newfound primarchs, nothing was to emerge to fill this particular void in the 4th. Even in the early days, as customs from the scores of new human worlds encountered were adopted by other Astartes, the 4th remained rigid and unchanging, especially in regard to its military formation. The approved structures, tactics, and hierarchy of the Principia Bellicosa were held onto by the 4th as if law, and endured to the point of bizarre inflexibility. The 4th did not even change how they approached combat itself, with relentless application of force being their only style of warfare, regardless of opponent. While this was effective in the early days of the Crusade, the diverse range of enemies the Imperium faced only expanded with the fronts of the human war machine, and the Fourth simply refused to change with this. Cunning strategies and clever application of intelligence were not for them. The foe must be ground to dust under boot or shot or shell. There was simply no other course. As other legions diverged, in some cases extremely markedly, from the largely uniform formations of the early days of human expansion, the Fourth remained unyielding in the face of military adaptation or cultural shifts. While they remained an incredibly effective force of arms, the consistency to a fault their methods represented began to draw attention. Other legions, especially those who had been reunited with their Primarchs and had vastly changed since their Terran days, viewed the Fourth as unimaginative and mechanistic, almost little better than Mechanicum Automata. Some, even as it was rumored the Primarch Horus, viewed them as honorless, the pragmatic warfare of the Legion speaking to a cold, calculating approach to what was an inherently emotional practice. However, others within the Imperial chain of command lauded the Fourth for being utterly reliable. Some of the Primarchs, namely Leman Russ of the 6th Legion Space Wolves, Ferris Manus of the 10th Legion Iron Hands, and Horus Lupercal of the 16th Legion Luna Wolves, refused to split their legions at the behest of mortal commanders, selecting their own legion elements for deployment upon their own whims. The Fourth, lacking a Primarch for longer than many of their fellows, had no such auspices and would respond to any and all orders they received. The Legion saw it as its goal to follow the letter of the law of the Great Crusade, and this led to it receiving a reputation that it would never shake. Across countless worlds, the Fourth Legion's reliability led to it being employed in thousands of engagements that required the might of an Astartes to win, but carried with them no renown. No celebrity lay in these tasks, for they were campaigns of bloody suppression and horrific attrition. The Fourth became known as the Legion to call upon when no other would answer, and commit themselves without complaint to whatever years-long siege or bloody garrison engagement required. The meager and bleak pride the Legion could take in its work was scant comfort. It is likely that the seeds of its festering discontent began to take hold during this time. This reputation, previously a blessing, slowly became a curse. As the Fourth were now the Legion to dispatch to the worst hellholes in the galaxy, a bizarre paradox was set to emerge within its heart. The Legion was marvelously technologically proficient, amassing one of the largest pools of armored vehicles of any Crusade force, save the 10th Legion Iron Hands, and was in possession of the finest and most numerous artillery divisions of all legions. Their approach to warfare, as the frontline force they had become, was to strike from a position of overwhelming superiority where possible, punishing the enemy with an apocalyptic initial bombardment. However, despite the carefully crafted pre-battle strategies, the Legion would often refuse to relent in these once committed, even in the face of staggering casualties. Despite their shrewd tactical nature, sudden reversals of fortune, as are common upon the battlefield, were not met with adaptability, merely stubbornness. Determined to protect its honor as the workhorse legion of the Crusade, it seemed that the Fourth would pay any blood price necessary for victory. This only worsened as time went on, culminating in a single engagement during the reclamation of Fordworld in Caladion that cost the lives of 29,000 Astartes, an almost unthinkable number for a campaign, though hard fought, should not nearly have been so costly. The further loss of over 12 million attached human Imperial Army troops only compounded the problem, and those within the War Council murmured that the Legion had used the campaign as an attempt to prove their relevancy, as other legions eclipsed them in both number and quality of conquests. It was not until the late 840s of M30 that the 4th Legion were reunited with its Primarch. Perturabo had been raised as a ward of Damakos, the self-styled tyrant of Lokos, upon the mountainous planet of Olympia. The child was cold, calculating, and distrustful of those around him to the point of paranoia. His foster father saw the prodigiously talented infant as a tool for his reign, and despite attempting to coax some affection out of the boy, was met with cold indifference. Pertuabo devoured the knowledge of his new world, and soon met with incredible success as a general in Damocos's army, capturing an untold number of Olympia's mountain fortresses in the name of his father's regime. Pertuabo, being one of the later Primarchs found, was reunited with his legion, a fully grown, fully formed being, with decades of hard-fought soldiering under his belt. The transition was, by all accounts, initially smooth. Damocos had built a model society, albeit one based entirely upon his rule, and if the price of retaining control of his planet, albeit in the name of the Imperium, was simply rendering his adopted son to the Emperor, it was a cost he eagerly paid. Pertuabo, for his part, had long since reasoned that he was not in any way an ordinary being, likely artificial, and had made peace with the knowledge that one day his creator would arrive. He is believed to have paid his true father as little affection as he had Damocos, requesting simply that he be put to use in the ongoing crusade. The distance he consistently maintained with others extended to his new brothers, who, despite attempts to bring him into what passed for a brotherly fold amongst the Primarchs, found the Iron Lord to be guarded to the point of indifference. None would ever count him as a friend the way they may with others, but the Emperor cared little for this. To him, his newfound son was a perfect tool. All Primarchs possessed incredible powers of intellect, but Pertuabo stood above all his brothers in his breathtaking capacity for learning and knowledge. Even when compared to minds like that of Ferus Manus or Magnus the Red, the Lord of the Fourth was perhaps the most gifted with raw scientific and technical intelligence. War to him was a morass of living, breathing mathematics, a logic puzzle to be solved through precisely vectored applications of firepower and manpower. It is known that the Primarch spent little time with his father. Pertuabo was instead handed command of the 4th Legion, specifically 35,000 Astartes, mustered for use under his direct leadership, as half the number again of the Legion was, as it was wont to be, engaged across dozens of fronts in dozens of grim theatres. Pertuabo reviewed the entirety of the Legion's combat records and doctrinal practices, measuring his newfound sons against their cousins in other legions, and found the 4th wanting. He reacted to this in the way of Olympia, in the way he had been raised. Decimation. War is unequivocal, uncaring, unforgiving, and blind. Blind also will be the selection of those who will pay the blood price for the greater failure of your record. 1 in 10 of the Legion, chosen randomly by lottery, was honorlessly culled by their brothers. The move caused outrage amongst the great and good of the Imperium, some of whom decrying the Master of Mankind himself for giving command of the most reliable of Astartes' legions to a lunatic. Rabut Gulliman, pragmatic and noble master of the 13th Legion Ultramarines, protested the action upon both the staggering loss of Imperial resources it represented, but also the sheer, shameful ignominy of these men's deaths. The Emperor, in what can only be his wisdom, silenced all of these voices, and neither reprimanded nor censored the Iron Lord. Pertuabo's message to the 4th was clear. Failure was no option, and punishment for any would be swift. There would be no favor, no preference given. All would serve, or all would die. The Legion would be peerless, or it would be no Legion at all. Over the coming years, the wedge that had driven the 4th Legion, now known as the Iron Warriors, between themselves and their cousins, would only grow more severe. Their choleric Primarch made for his Legion no friends amongst either his brothers or the Imperial Hierarchy. Only those of the Mechanicum, especially the warlike Ordo Reductor, could have counted the Iron Lord in any favor. And even then, the priests of Mars viewed the Legion's use of technology, without any deference to the Machine God, with judging oculi. His rule over the Legion was frosty. While other legions could consider their primarchs a paternal figure to some degree, the Fourth bore their genetic sire no such love, for he had none to give them, and was seemingly ever eager to spend the lives of his iron warriors as coin in the transaction of battle. It is widely recognized amongst us scholars that the Iron Warriors incurred more casualties than any other legion by a large degree. Even the First Legion, Dark Angels, whose combat losses in the Rangdan Xenocides almost wiped them out as a fighting force. While no number is extant, the incredible losses the Fourth sustained in its bloody attritional campaigns is undoubtable. It is a dark testament to the resourcefulness and organizational genius of Perta Abo, and the ease at which the Legion's gene seed could be adopted amongst initiates, that these losses never crippled the Iron Warriors as a Legion, nor even deprecated its fighting ability. However, it has been theorized that such constant exposure to death, destruction, and loss of comrades had, despite all of their Astartes psycho-conditioning, a profound effect upon the warriors of the Fourth. Stubbornness turned into a callous indifference towards life in general, both in Astartes' own and those of his comrades. This was notable to those cousins of theirs in other legions, who found the Iron Warriors bitter and cynical characters. To the mortals of the Imperial Army, the Fourth's reputation was grim indeed. More so than any other legion, the Iron Warriors were wont, if not eager, to use human auxiliaries as simple cannon fodder to deplete the ammunition of an enemy, or to gauge their strength and tactical disposition. The Exertus Imperialis would dub the Legion the Corpse Grinders, alarming Imperial iterators with the corrosive effect on morale this was to have. Regiments under the command of the Fourth would often mutiny in war zones where casualty rates were appalling, only for these mutinies to be put down by further slaughter meted out by the Fourth Legion itself. Such was the scale of this problem that War Master Horus had to personally intervene to ensure that Imperial auxiliary detachments, seconded to the Fourth, were comprised exclusively of penal battalions of enslaved members of non-compliant regimes. The Iron Warriors were in an ever-deepening spiral, unable and unwilling to arrest their fall towards infamy. As the Great Crusade drew to its close, the rivalries, common amongst the legions, grew with the Fourth into bitter enmities. Perta Abo's feud with the Primarch of the Seventh Legion, Rogel Dorn, is notable as the worst amongst all brothers at the time. Strategic disparities made them no friends with the 19th Legion Raven Guard. The 13th Legion Ultramarines scorned the Fourth's use of the lives of their Astartes, and the Iron Warriors held the 5th Legion White Scars and 6th Legion Space Wolves to blame for their lack of acknowledgement in the defeat of the Greenskin Wa Mashog. The Legion's undoubtable talent in siege warfare led to the War Master redirecting them to the most thankless siege operations all the more, and resentment for this and other slights, both real and imagined, were akin to a cancer in the twin hearts of tens of thousands of Astartes. As the coming decades were to show, this was simply the seed of dread things to come.